Oftentimes the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Life's share the joys of heaven and see our Savior's face. The tempter will be banished. We'll praise God's matchless grace. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ.
Minutes just to look at these scriptures that are above us. As we think of the one that it brings before us, if we were to turn to Exodus 33, which I'm not going to go into, but just to think of what we have here before us, let me, I pray thee, see thy glory. You know, the children of Israel were passing through the desert land there, and Moses was wondering how he was going to go and who would go with him, and the Lord said that He would go with him. And Moses, he said he wanted to know for sure, and yes, the Lord assured him that He would go with him. And Moses wanted just a little bit more. He said, let me, I pray thee, see thy glory. And oh, as we're here this week, we may not be here for long, but we may be here the whole week, but may we see His glory. I was just thinking of a verse in the first Gospel of John, chapter 1. You don't have to turn to these verses. You can listen. I'm going to go through it quickly because Dave is our speaker tonight. But just thinking of 1 John chapter 1, and verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the one that we look at tonight, our Savior, the one who is full of grace and truth. We can't argue with that, can we? It's true. He's full of grace and truth. And then in Hebrews, the second chapter, in verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. As we get down into these the scriptures. We'll look at that first one over there that speaks of... No, it's not the first one. Anyway, it speaks of Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted to be a prince and a savior. Yeah, it is the first one, isn't it? I can't see that far. Anyway, he is a savior. How wondrous to have a savior that we can look to and lean upon and be thankful for. Well, as we go down to the next verse, the next one above me, Jesus was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun. And if we were to go down a little bit further in that chapter, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. We know that that's the way the word brings it before us. And it's our God and Father's pleasure that he finds in his Son that he wants to bring out. He wants to commend to you and to me. He wants us to be able to enter into and to enjoy Christ. Oh, his excellencies. It's wonderful as we think of him. His perfections, his glories, his beauty. How wonderful that we can own him as our Lord and Savior. And I trust that each one here can own him as your Lord and Savior. And how wonderful that we can own him in that relationship as the sonship with the Father, the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal relationship of the Son with the Father. We have that in Hebrews, the first chapter, in verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Oh, he's on high. We see him in the glory. With our hearts, we can look up and we can see him there. We can enjoy him. But soon, we shall be with him. And then the next one down. For the shining forth of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. If we were to go down farther in that chapter, this is treasure. This is treasure. To have Christ, to see Christ, to enter into who he is and what he's done, and to know him as our Lord and as our Savior. Oh, it's wonderful that we can be together and think of this one, Christ, Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted to be a prince and a Savior. And going on to the next verse, heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, upholding all things by the word of his power. Speaking of his essential being. He is the heir of all things. He is the one that made all things. He is the one that upholdeth all things. He is my Lord and my Savior. I trust he's your Lord and your Savior. How wonderful to think of this one. And then the next verse, the Christ who is over all, God blessed forever. What a wonderful thing. Christ who is over all. This verse gives us assurance that Christ is God, the deity, the Lord Jesus himself. Yet, if we go down, it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. He's the one that humbled himself, the one who came down to take and bear our sins in his own body on the tree. Oh, what a glorious Savior we have. And then we find over here, behold, I come quickly. We don't know when he's coming. His coming is soon. We know that. We're looking for it. What a glorious day that will be to be with our Lord and Savior. But until he comes, may we hold fast. He stands at the door and knocks. Yes, he wants to enter in. He wants to have fellowship with you individually and enjoy that. It's the greatest joy in our life to have fellowship with Christ. Just communion with him. A little peaceful, quiet time when we can enjoy Christ individually and his great love for for us. Well, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Let's turn to that verse, Revelation 3. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." Here he is, as we said, speaking individually to you, wanting to come to be with you. "Hear my voice, open the door, and he will come in." Oh, how wonderful. And then he says, "To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me on the throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father on his throne." Here again, the glory of Christ brought out. He overcame. He did. He finished the work, completed it. But then the last verse up here, "And to know that I have loved thee." He says, "I have loved thee." It's tremendous, isn't it? If I could point the finger at each one of you. "I have loved thee," he said. "I have loved thee. I have loved thee." How wonderful. He loves us. To know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. It's beyond our understanding. We can't take it in, but it's great. It's great. "And then that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith." That's our desire, that Christ may be dwelling in our hearts, that we might enjoy him through our time here, through this week, as we have opportunity to have Christ before us. Dave.
John chapter 13, if I could just read a couple verses. Brethren, John chapter 13. Just two verses. Verse 34, our brother Wally emphasized this, so I just want to reemphasize love, the word love. "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Beloved brethren, there is one thing that we can say with certainty. As I look into the faces of each one of you and you look at me, we are here because of one word. And that is love. Now, I'm sure it is love of parents that have brought you here. The kindness and generosity of parents. Maybe a grandparent has brought you here. That happens often at Lassen as we've had years together like this. Could be the love of a friend. Has cared enough about you that has brought you here. And we're thankful, no matter how you got here, that you're here. But love is that root, source, and effect that has brought it to pass. But there is a greater love, of course, that we heard of just a few moments ago, and that is the love that we've been loved with that passes all understanding. And I often think when I look into your faces, young folks and young families that are here, if I had my life to live all over again in the assembly and having had the privilege of being raised in the assembly, as many of you have, and some of you haven't, I know, if I could implant some of the things in my young life that I have now and have it to do all over again, I would be much more appreciative and would say I would want no other path in this world than the path that God has led you into and me by His grace. And that is the path to be gathered together to the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no greater blessed path in this world, beloved. You and I have been born in the lap of spiritual luxury. And sadly, as a child, I didn't appreciate it. I remember sitting in the Des Moines conference meetings back in Iowa, fanning myself as you were doing here tonight, because it was pretty warm and sweat was running down our faces, and we were just miserable trying to get out of there as soon as we could. Well, we all have had our experiences and various negative thoughts about the assembly, things that have troubled us about the assembly and problems and the difficulties. But there is one wonderful balm that we experienced in Walla Walla. And I think we're going to experience it here, and that is the love of Christ that will heal all of our wounds. There is nothing like it, beloved brethren. There's nothing more wonderful than to be loved by Him. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. We have been drawn by the cords of a man, right into His very presence, to have such a blessed privilege to be gathered around Him as we were in Walla Walla, as we are every first day of the week, gathered around Himself in the midst. There are some here that perhaps had no expectation in coming, and yet at the last moment you decided to come because it was your first time, and you felt maybe some of the younger ones, the 13-year-olds, the 14-year-olds, you felt, well, I don't want to be alone, and I don't feel like I will be accepted, or I won't know anybody. And I think some of us have talked to some like that, and maybe you changed your mind at the last moment and you came. And we want you to be loved. And you will be loved if we are walking with the Lord Jesus Christ in the joy and the good of that love that we've been loved with. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. The greatness of that love, the manner of that love, that we should become the children of God. And now it says here in the verses we just read, and I just want to emphasize this, especially to my own heart, young folks, brethren, this new commandment have I given unto you, that ye love one another. I feel so deficient in expressing how I feel to each one of you, and I'm sure each one of us can say this, when we see those that are alone and maybe don't feel accepted in our cabins, and maybe they're unhappy that they came, and they don't feel part of the group. Maybe they don't have a friend or friends here from their own home assemblies. And that's why I read these verses. Because we have been loved so greatly. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Yes, we have the Holy Spirit, but the treasure is the glory of Christ living in our lives. And that can shine out in the form of love to one another, so that we can put our arm around one another, speak to one another. If we see somebody that maybe looks a little unhappy, even in our cabin or walking along the path, let's encourage one another to show them that they are loved. That is the practical aspect of it in our lives, is it not, brethren? By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. I was just reading a story about a man and a lady that were married. And the wife was a wonderful Christian, and she invited her husband to come to gospel meeting after gospel meeting after gospel meeting, and he would never come. Years of this went on. Years passed by, and one Sunday evening he said, I'll come to gospel meeting with you tonight. And he went to the meeting, and he heard the word preached, and he received Christ. And his wife, of course, after the meeting, was just weeping. And she said to him, what was it that caused you to all of a sudden change your mind and come to the gospel. And then to surprise me with the joy of your salvation. He said, honey, I'll tell you what it was. I saw your life for 12 years. And you loved me through everything. There was not a time I can remember when you rejected me or you were bitter or angry at me for the way I treated you. He said, I watched your life. It wasn't your words. It wasn't the message that you had to talk to me about. And when I knew what you had was so real, it was in your heart and in your feet and your life, he said, I wanted it too. That's the kind of effect we have on one another, brethren, is it not? You know, we've been through some pretty hard times in the past several months and in the past several years. And the difficulties that have come in among us have hurt deeply in our hearts, have caused pain in families, have divided families and friendships. And if it hurts us, how much more does it hurt the one who loved us and gave himself for us? But his way is perfect. And when there is submission to our head, as we had in Walla Walla, and owning him as the head of his body, the church, and he doeth all things well, never changing paths or direction in your life because you have to leave this situation because it's too unhappy for you. If you stay right where you are, and let him heal your heart from those wounds and from your disappointments, and let your brethren love you, and may we truly love one another. I feel it for myself, brethren, and I have had brethren in my own home assembly that have loved me through problems I thought I would never have to pass through. And I believe that there are some here who have had, not just perhaps thinking about the assembly at this point, but problems in losing a loved one so dear and precious to your heart. You don't know how. You didn't know how you could ever get through it. But he will love you through it because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He wants that heart of yours yielding him. He wants to satisfy our hearts with his love. And his love is so great and so powerful. And if we're constrained or persuaded by it, beloved, we'll say, I never believed it could be so wonderful to be a Christian. This is the way that lady lived her life. And she had a power in her life, the power of the Spirit of God, to enjoy Christ in her life. She could love her husband through disappointments and through upset and trouble in the home. And we can do that same thing, can we not, by his grace, beloved? As we go through difficulties in our homes, in our assemblies, in relationships, and just love one another. And sometimes we may say, well, it's difficult to love so-and-so because I'm not like them, or maybe I'm not attracted to them. And that's why the Lord gave us this commandment, did he not? This new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. And it says in 1 Peter chapter 2 that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently. When I, just a few moments ago, was walking up in the parking lot, I saw this little guy running down the driveway, and he was running towards his grandfather, and I happened to be the grandfather. You know, it was so wonderful. It was so wonderful to feel loved. And I think of how the Lord must feel when we run to him. There is nothing like his love. We just sit at his feet. And that's why we're here, to sit at his feet, beloved. In these meetings, it's not to just get doctrine and principles and teaching. Yes, we need that. But it's to sit at his feet and be loved. And realize in your young life and heart that he can satisfy you far abundantly above anything in this world that your heart naturally might seek after. He can do it, and he'll show you. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. 123. Thank you.
Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, but mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not mine enemies triumph over me. Show me thy ways, thy ways, O Lord. Show me thy ways, O Lord. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not mine enemies triumph over me.